tell you that that's when I put the clutch in and kick it into neutral, and I think, there you go. That's exactly what they should have been doing in the Old Testament. That's what we understand. The old law is there to be a schoolmaster for us, and it's a schoolmaster. I get it, and I see why they would be, you know, that why they were required to do that, why they decided to do it themselves, and I really can understand that, and happy and proud for those of the old law to do that. But we did see a couple of examples that led us to believe that we need to consider it ourselves, because we did look at the examples of both Paul and Jesus, and therefore that might bring the application a little bit closer to us. Brings it fast forward a few thousand years, certainly, but still, that's a while, you know, that's a ways ago. That was in Jesus' time. Was it just something Jesus did, or is there more example for us? So as I said before, I want you to be thinking about the why of that. Is it for me? And to think about these Old Testament examples, is there a purpose that's now become unimportant? Not for me. And I think we'll find that that's not. So as we look at this, we're going to see some New Testament examples of that and how we can then make application, because I believe there is a strong place for application. And let me tell you a story because of that. I hesitate to tell the story because I believe we're going to come to some conclusion that says, I don't want to make this a ceremonial thing. I don't want to make it about me. I don't want to make it about showing forth that I am fasting. But I do want to share, because I think that's our reasoning why we never talk about this. Why do you think fasting is not brought up? Not because there's lack of scriptures for it. Certainly we found plenty, and we're going to look at several more this morning. Not because, maybe because there's no direct command for us to fast. Is that it? Okay, well then that might be understandable. If there's no command for us directly to make sure that we fast on a specific day of the week or a specific time or for these reasons that we saw where we have Old Testament examples for, then when am I supposed to do it? That's what I hope we will walk away from today, is that we'll look at our lives and we'll say, maybe I should be fasting, but should I be boasting about that fasting? That's where I think we have this balance of why we don't ever hear preaching about it. That's my intention about bringing it today for you. It's for my benefit as well. It's to say, why do we not teach on this as much? It's because of that. And I will challenge you to say, you might find that amongst your number here and amongst Christians in general, there might be more fasting going on than what you know about. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that for this reason. I have a personal example, and I think that helps us to understand where we should be getting to in the end of this study. And that is, when I found myself lacking on information about fasting, and I started doing my own personal study about it long, like I say, this has been a year ago or so, when I first started questioning the idea of why is this word mentioned in the Bible so many times and yet I'm not involved in it, should I be? I decided that I would fast. And ashamedly so, I will tell you, I had never fasted before in my adult life, my Christian life. Now, that's an honest assessment of where I was. It may be the same for you today. You may say the same. Is it important for me to say that? I think it's important for me to tell you that for this reason. I had then, in going through this, thankfully, I have a wonderful spouse. She's not with me today. She was supposed to be here. My wife, Sherry, was supposed to come along, but it didn't work out. She's actually traveling back to Arkansas now. But her intent was to be here. And while I was studying for my first class on this topic, I told her what the topic was, and she was surprised. She didn't like me to talk about her, so since she's not here, I'll be able to talk while she's not here in our midst. So she was very surprised that I was, you know, bringing this topic, and so therefore she's interested. Said, "Yeah, something we don't speak about very often. Fasting is not very common for us to talk about in the church, in Lord's Church." And so I told her about that, and I got ready for my second lesson. I did an invitation on this same topic some months ago, and which was the genesis of all this, really in-depth study about it. And while I was preparing for that, I told her, I said, I'm going to give an example about myself in this. And I said, it's going to be about me fasting, because I hadn't fasted. And then this, for the second lesson, it had happened, and I said, I have fasted. And I just fasted in the last day, telling my wife about that as I'm preparing. She said, you know, that's really interesting. I just fasted last week. Shocking to me. Again, I may be telling you, and you go, well, certainly that's exactly what's happened. To me, it was shocking because I haven't studied it enough, I hadn't practiced it enough, and therefore hadn't done it. Now you know the backstory to me, that I haven't ever fasted before, even though I'm speaking on it to you today, until the last year, until this last few months. So I'm challenging you to think about that. Should you be doing it? I did it for whatever matter of conscience that I did, and then found out later that my wife had done it at almost at an identical time, almost the same time. I think it was for different reasons, but that doesn't matter. I'm not looking to probe the heart of my wife for that particular thing, and I don't want to probe your heart and your mind and soul for what you strive to do in your fasting life, because we're going to find more examples of this being voluntary than it is going to be something that's commanded. We don't see the commandment, so we're going to say that most of the time it's going to be a voluntary thing. So that's my personal example, and I hope you'll grant me that liberty, and I hope you'll challenge yourself to say, Kevin challenged himself, should I be challenging myself? And that's why I've said that for all these lessons, all through this lesson today, is to think, does it apply to me? Please think about that. Please think about your challenge yourself. So, in the New Testament, we already talked about it. We see that Jesus had done it. We see the Apostle Paul. We also are going to see that the church did it. The church as a whole. Now, take my example I just said, and go in your mind, historically, you have a memory of whatever you've accomplished in your life. How many times do you know of the whole church fasting together? Again, we find ourselves wanting. Maybe you'll come up to me afterwards. I hope y'all come to me at the front. Please rush to the stage after we get done with this lesson and say, Kevin, you're wrong. Here we fasted just last week, or we do it all the time. I'm concerned with the church because I don't think this is a topic that's not spoken about and therefore maybe not done a lot. But maybe it's done because we then discuss it some, and maybe it only can come from the pulpit, because if I risk even giving this lesson for another reason, right? I risk bringing this lesson by saying, okay, because Kevin Kelly showed up in Waynesville, Ohio on this day, this next week if you fast, it's because of what I've encouraged you to do and because I've told you so. Please don't do it for that reason. Please look at yourself and say, no, it's something I need to do because I've seen an example of it, and I'm going to see examples with an apostle, with our Savior, and I'm going to see the church doing it in the first century. So that's enough of us to talk about this. I was talking with Rochelle in the break and talking. We have things that are much more obscure in God's Word that we spend a lot of time on, right? We talk about things that we want to get to the nitty-gritty about how to understand it and get to the details, and it might only be one or two verses that relate to that. And here we've already seen many, many, many verses we've talked about. We can't even read them all in the course of our time this last hour. And we're going to see the same now, that we have examples, and yet plenty of information about fasting, and yet we don't avail ourselves of that. So let's talk about fasting in the life of Jesus first. And you're going to see that over in Matthew chapter 4, of course. And we said earlier in the last hour in Luke 4 also, the early verses of both those Gospels. So we know there that he was led into the wilderness, and therefore he was tempted. And he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. Luke actually states that, right? And throughout his 40-day period of temptation, Jesus felt it appropriate to fast. Now Jesus is the forerunner, right? And so he is our example in many things. And that's what I said before. When we look at Jesus' example, we sometimes, again, kick it into neutral and say, it's Jesus. He's God and man. Can I even attain to that level of ability of what he was able to do for fasting for 40 days? And on top of that, he was being tempted. He had these great temptations of worldwide magnitude. Satan's never going to offer me the world because he knows I will succumb for much less than that. He knows that we will succumb for much less than that. But if, to Jesus, he was having to offer the whole world. He was having to offer all of creation to him as if he had it to offer. We know certainly that he did not. But his temptations were great. And so we sometimes, again, think of ourselves and say, well, it's Jesus. Well, then he taught about it later on, if you'll remember, over in Matthew chapter 6, right, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, where Jesus then said, what, if you look at that passage? If you read that passage, he says, when you fast. He doesn't say if. He says, when you fast. That's a challenge, I think, to us right there. That starts to tell us that I'll say myself, are lacking when we say that he would make the assumption that his disciples were the ones that were going to fast when they did that. We want to suggest to ourselves also, what is the most common word when I said the word fasting that comes into your mind in connection with that? You had another word in mind, and I know you all thought about the same thing. We think of prayer at the same time as fasting. And I would challenge you also to say that alms come into that as well in New Testament examples. And alms, prayers, and fasting are all kind of connected to some extent. Alms is not what we're speaking about today, but in prayer and fasting, those go together. And that I have another lesson I bring on that particular point, because prayer and fasting are interconnected. But we see that here in this example in Matthew 6, where prayer and fasting comes into play. And several of these other ones are the same way. Now, what does that tell us about our fasting? Does our fasting then, if we're buffeting our spirit, our soul, and not our body so much in the fast, are we then going to be in prayer during that time? Was Jesus in prayer in the wilderness to God much of the time? I would suggest that he probably was. And I would suggest that you would be, if you were fasting, would be in prayer more often. My prayer might simply be, please don't let me turn in when I drive by McDonald's. You know, please take the temptation away from me. Please don't put something before me that I really love, whatever that thing is that I really love to eat. Because again, we're talking about something that's very personal to us about our food and what we consume and what we like. We have things we like. I have many things that I like in the way of food. But there will be that temptation if we've decided to set aside a certain amount of time, whether that time is what we talked about, for a few hours, intermittently to fast, or to do that for a whole day, which seems to be the most common time frame that we talk about, whether that's for the whole daylight hours of the day or whether it's for a 24-hour period. Those seem to be the more common ones that we looked at in our Old Testament examples. So in Jesus is questioned then later on after the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 9 and verse 14 by John's disciples, right? And John's disciples asked Jesus an important question there, right? Where he asks, why do your disciples not fast? Again, making the assumption, making the inference that there was fasting that ought to be going on at sometimes, at least with John's disciples, they were fasting. And what was Jesus' example? Paraphrasing his example was, they have the bridegroom here. There's no reason for them to fast. They're not to be sad. They're not waiting for something. They're not remembering something in the past. All those the examples that we saw in our first in the Old Testament examples. They have the Messiah with them. They have Jesus. How thankful they are for that. So there's no reason for fasting. As we talked about, as Kyle mentioned a moment ago, it's a time for feasting when we partake of the Lord's Supper. we're at a time, that's the time to do that. They were at a time when they were rejoicing that Jesus was here. He had really come, and therefore, that's why he's making this juxtaposition of the 2 points of whether Jesus' disciples or John's disciples were fasting or not fasting in Matthew chapter 9. Also, we look at Mark chapter 2 and verse 18 if you're making notes about where those are also found. And also Luke, you can see the same example. Luke 5 for 33 picks up and has the same story as the gospel account gives us. So, I want you to think about how this word that I also put with that, which is prayer, goes along with our fasting. In Matthew chapter 17, a little farther down, prayer and fasting is also mentioned there. There sometimes are times when our faith alone is not enough. And we need fasting to make that stronger. Okay, now you've just lost me, Jesus, because how is something that is weakening my body going to make me stronger? Remember, we said it's not because of your body. It's because we're buffeting our spirit, because we are, just like in the Day of Atonement, we are striving to make our spirit be subject to our will. We want ourselves to be not cast away and therefore whole in that last day. So sometimes our faith is strengthened by our fasting and, on top of that, our prayer. Think about that. How does something that weakens me physically, possibly weakens me physically, I might challenge you to say, try fasting for a day and see if it does really diminish your strength by that much. Can we really coast, as it were, for a whole day and it not make a difference? I will tell you, my own bodily weight is higher than it has ever been in my life. And I would say, right today. So coasting for a day would mean virtually nothing. I need those 4 days that we talked about in the old law. I need plenty of days mixed in. Maybe a day every week to fast would be more appropriate for my weight loss and maybe the health benefits that might come through that. But fact of challenging and strengthening my faith and moving myself in the direction of thinking about spiritual matters, if my fasting is done in that way, that's powerful. It makes your faith more strong. It makes your ability stronger, is what it appears to be saying here in Matthew 17. So let's look at what the church did. Let's see where the church example is. Now we get to us. Because if we look in Acts 13, then we know that we see that the church there has fasted, right? They were fasting, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. I'm not going to read that for sake of time, but they were fasting as a group and while they were ministering to the Lord. They fasted and prayed in preparation for sending out Barnabas and Saul. Now, do we see that that was a commandment? Do we see that they were required to do that? We don't see that. We see that's what they did. Now, certainly, as I'm standing here before you today, someone had to stand before them and say, what do you think? Let's all fast. I don't think it was all as chaotic, maybe it's not chaotic is the right word, but as arbitrary as what my wife and I's conversation was. Did you fast? Oh, I fasted too. That's wonderful if we by happenstance have done that. But here's a concerted effort where someone had to make the statement and say, let's do this, and they did that. I would challenge us as the church to do that from time to time. They did this here in Antioch, and look what the purpose was. It was before they were sending out Barnabas and Saul. They were doing something before they had done this important preparation. This is part of their preparation of their mind and their bodies and their collective efforts that they were going to do, because certainly that would have required some financing as well, we would think. So it can be done as a group. That tells us there that we can do it as a group. So there's one example. We have this example. We could see a reason to do that. Do we ever send those out? Do we ever send those out missionaries? Well, I think you do. I think you do that whenever you support someone else outside, whenever you support those who are in foreign countries, whenever you're going out and speaking the gospel to your neighbors. We could as a church do that and be praying for that and for and fasting for that as well. Also, the churches in Galatia did the same thing. The very next chapter, chapter 14 in Acts, they had an example there where they were done. It was done as a group. Fasting and prayer was done as a group, and it's again in conjunction with another serious task. And what is that task? Well, it's one that many of the churches still lack around the country, and that is the appointing of elders. Well, another time when prayer alone is not enough, faith alone is not enough, fasting is added in to this. That's why we seem to have heard about fasting so much of our Christian lives, so much of our time as Bible students. We look at it and we say, I've heard about fasting. I know that faith. I've got to make sure I have that faith. And I make sure I pray occasionally or often or always. But I don't ever think about that fasting part that's talked about here in the churches of Galatia. And yet, they're doing it again. Not by commandment, but by because they're thinking about it for this reason of appointing elders that they can do it. And it's in every church. It's mentioned there also. So maybe not just in one or two, but maybe all of those were in Galatia or all that they come in contact with. Or maybe it was common through all the church, every church. And I say the same thing I said before, that as I got I was preparing for this lesson, I think, how many times have I heard that in every church they're praying and fasting often? We don't. That's again our challenge. We don't hear about that. We don't hear things that are first century, and yet we call ourselves a first century church and don't talk about doing this one very simple thing. I think a simple thing. Someone might say, no, Kevin, I have some dietary restriction and I have to eat a certain amount and this has to happen this certain way. Well, maybe you do, and maybe that's more the intermittent fast but that we talked about. So Let's look at one other place where our fasting happens, and that is with the Apostle Paul. We've seen Jesus, we've seen the church, and now we want to talk about him for a few moments. In his ministry, Paul, he was fasting as part of the mark of his ministry. He did it quite often. He's fasting. It's mentioned when there's sometimes hunger and thirst involved. I want you to look at, I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10, talks about some of his fasting. Also, in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, 23 through 28, especially verse 27 there, talking about his fasting. But he's fasting as a mark of his ministry. That's what he wants his minister, him being in good standing as a minister of Christ. It appears that's his intent. I don't want to judge the intents of his heart, but what he says about it tends to think that's why he wants to fast, and why he includes that as part of what he's doing. So he also taught that fasting might have been in place in the lives of other people. And that we see in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5. And that was, as it talks about there, when husbands and wives separate for a time to prayer and fasting, right, in that verse. So we also see that that's another time, again, has a specific end point, has a specific start, specific end, and therefore they fast for that short amount of time. So as I look at these examples, I see that there are plenty of New Testament examples. There were a multitude of Old Testament examples to help us understand that. So, are others doing this today? And please tell me after our services this morning that you know of many times this happening. I would be very encouraged by that, as I think you would be encouraged by knowing that the person sitting next to you on the pew had fasted and that they had done such a thing. Or even if it's not been recently, but it's for a specific purpose, or the purposes we've talked about. So how do I know that that person next to me, or how would you have known if I hadn't told you my own personal example of fasting, if I had not done that? How would you know about that? Could you watch me all day long? Could you follow me around and say, oh, he never went into McDonald's. He never went. I keep using McDonald's. I don't like going to McDonald's really, but that's a good example, right? But, you know, you didn't see me go in. You didn't see me come out. You weren't at my home. You weren't with me in my home all day, and you saw that I didn't eat all that day. Okay, you could catch me and know that I did that, but it's very unlikely that you would follow me completely for that whole period of time or the whole 24 hours. Maybe your wife, husband could do that, but that's about all, right? Your children could know that. But also for another reason we alluded to at the top of the hour, and that is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18. Let's read there. Matthew had a commandment. He has a commandment about fasting. Okay? He does have a commandment. Oh, good. We're getting to a commandment, Kevin. That's what I wanted to hear. We finally made it to the pinnacle of this lesson. His commandment there says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. That's a pretty strong command. First of all, number one, to fast. And number two, it tells us the reason why we don't know about it going on in the church. So therefore, if we don't speak on it occasionally, we don't ever hear about that it might be something that's so. Jesus here clearly tells us, don't make a show of it. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand does, in other words. It's the same sort of thing. We're not supposed to be boastful about this, but yet Jesus makes inference that we should be doing it in this very passage. In the Sermon on the Mount. So, we ought to teach each other more about this topic. We ought to be more thoughtful about how this helps our faith. We ought to be considering what fasting is all about. And yet, I think our evangelists that are out there now, all of us that call ourselves the ones that might bring a lesson occasionally, err on the side of let's be silent, as what Matthew 6, verse 18 says. And we forget that we need to be fasting and reminding people to fast. So we need to do that to strengthen our faith. So, I think we've answered together this idea, should I be fasting? Yes. Now, when should I do it? Should I do it under compulsion now? Okay, again, just as I said before, Kevin said, Brother Kelly came here, told us this on January the 6th of 2019, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. No, don't do it because I have just said so. That's not what most of the examples talk about. Most of the examples are because they're doing it to strengthen their faith. They're doing it because they've decided, oh, I've looked at Scripture, and that Scripture tells me I ought to be doing this, and therefore I'm going to do it on my own. And I'm going to do exactly as Jesus commanded here, and I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm telling no one. Even to the point of I'm not telling my wife, as I said earlier. My wife didn't know. I didn't know that she had done it. That's, I think, how we should be fasting. Not showing it, not bragging about it, not telling ourselves, great job that I've done to do that, but doing it because it's a service to God. It's something that we can offer Him, a separate form of our submission to Him in giving of our time, giving us something that we really like. We all like food. We all like to eat. And giving that up for a time for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of God, for the sake of showing Him that we can buffet our bodies. We can really stop ourselves from doing something that we love and our body needs and we must have it to sustain us. We can't do this forever. It has to be an ending time. We can't do it always. We would die. So we have to have food to live. We can deprive ourselves for a short period of time, whatever that is. And I'd ask you to consider that as you think about your life. So we know the answer is yes. How do I start? Don't tell me that you started. That'll be the way to start. Don't tell me. Don't tell anyone about it. Just do it at some point. You're encouraging me by bringing this lesson. As I told you, I brought a couple of them about this very topic. It encourages me to want to do it more myself. And let's do that. Let's encourage each other in well-doing. Let's think about this small aspect that we don't talk about very much, but we should be doing more of it than what we're talking about. And we get that part. So therefore, we don't talk about it as much, and we don't do it as much as I think we should, and therefore it's a missed opportunity for us in our association with our God. Keep it private. Again, it might be good the first time I've bragged, it sounds like, on what I have done. Please don't think of it as that. I wanted to say it because I think it's an example of why we don't hear about it very often. You may find that if you ask someone pointedly, ask your brother or sister in Christ that question, they might say, yeah, I've done that before. I would love to hear that. Love to hear those kinds of things because it encourages us. But we don't need to know those details about that. So I encourage you to add this component. I would say leave you with one more thing in making sure that our attitude toward this is correct. And that is turn over to look at the previous verses of what we just read. Look back at Matthew chapter 6. And there it says this about our fasting. Besides what it said about what Jesus is telling us about do it in secret, but also what is our attitude supposed to be? And this is what I want us to consider. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, and when you fast, did you hear that again? When you fast, not if, maybe someday you might, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that we can be acceptable for God. We want to make it look like we're not fasting when we are. Don't go around in sad, telling everyone about it, how terrible it is, how hard it is. It's a simple thing, as we talked about. It's something that we just need to be not hypocritical about, and to be good servants of God by adding this component to our discipleship today. So it is for us today. That's what this is all about. It is for us to do. I think you can see that I've given you examples of how, yes, overwhelmingly it's from the old law, but it is something we can use today. Please make it a part of your life today if you haven't already done so. If you're in this audience and you look at this as too much, if you've never become immersed in baptism, and you think, this is so hard, even this small piece of your service to God is not difficult. Walking forward and getting into the water grave of baptism is not difficult. God doesn't call us to do difficult things. He just calls us to change our lives and to not be conformed to this world. If you truly want to do that, if you desire to serve God, please think about that today. Please, if you haven't ever obeyed the gospel, come forward right now. If you are one of the body of believers and you say, I'm not serving God as I should, please don't take this example, because maybe this is new information to you. Maybe just fasting itself is brand new information, and I hope you take it as such and you'll use it later on. So don't think I'm asking you to come forward because you might be missing this component. It is important to have, but maybe you're missing the mark in other places in your life. If you need the forgiveness that God extends through the prayers of the faithful, prayer is an important part of even your life, but it's important to have other prayers offered on your behalf. Think about doing that and stepping forward to the front at this time as we stand and sing this song. If you owe duty to God, please do that now before we leave this building.